those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the blogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television.
From the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network and the blogulator.com. Obviously, I am Qualler.
I am Bridget, also obviously.
And our opinions
are valid.
Valid, as the slogan says. Welcome to another episode of Blogulator Radio. It's getting cold, Bridget.
Yeah, it's getting cold.
How about that weather?
How about it, right?
Good topic to start the podcast off with.
That's yeah.
The weather.
Weather. It's getting cold. Spooky Halloween. Spooky Halloween.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago
we
had our real spooky Halloween. And on today's show, we're doing kind of a catch up with check in on some of our shows. Some new, some returning, and some new to us.
Yeah.
So that kind of covers all the shows.
Should we start with the new?
Yeah, why don't we start with the brand new shows?
Okay. Enlightened.
should we start with the HBO?
Yeah.
Block.
So we were recently in a hotel room where we got HBO.
Right.
So we were able to see
for our wedding anniversary
a couple shows.
Wedding anniversary
that we hadn't
acknowledged that.
Yep, that we were able to see a couple shows that we hadn't seen in a while because we don't have HBO at home, sadly. Mm-hmm. But one of them was completely new, right?
Yes.
It's called Enlightened. And I had a very immediate and very real and very negative reaction to this show. Qualler liked it.
What was it specifically about Enlightened? And to be specific, we watched a mid-ish season episode. So I had never seen any episodes of it before. Neither had Bridget. Bridget, what hit you viscerally that you didn't like about
Laura Dern, whom I love, both as the paleontologist or paleobotanist, doctor. Do you remember her name?
Nope.
You know, from Jurassic Park and from her work with our friend
David Lynch.
And first of all, okay, this happened late at night or early in the morning?
Late at night. Yeah.
And I was kind of asleep aware watching it, and my eyes were closed for the first half. And because my eyes were closed for the first half, I didn't know that it was Laura Dern. I thought it was just some, like, way younger woman, like someone who was, like, 23 years old, acting really annoying. And when I opened my eyes and saw that that horrible voice was coming from Laura Dern, that was the first horrible visceral reaction I had. Dr. Sattler.
Dr. Ellie. Ellie.
Ellie.
They called her Ellie more in the movie.
Surely, Dr. Sattler, you're familiar with the traction.
Chaos theory.
Yeah. But
good Jeff Goldblum.
Thank
impression.
You. Thank you. No, so yeah, so the show stars Laura Dern, and the first half of it, which I just listened to with my eyes closed, I didn't think it was Laura Dern. I thought it was some annoying person in their early 20s acting dumb and airheady. And for me to open my eyes and be like, "Oh, it's Laura Dern," it was just this really weird.
It was weird
because I like couldn't match her voice to her.
Mm-hmm. So your main visceral reaction, anti-enlightened, was that you didn't expect Laura Dern to act this way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just act this way, but sound that way, and it was just really disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like kind of half asleep, thinking, "Oh, this is that show that Laura Dern is in. Which character is Laura Dern?" Because all I've heard so far is some really annoying mm-hmm. woman with kind of a high voice acting dumb and mm-hmm. obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened my eyes, and that was Laura Dern's character, and it just pissed me off.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, to back up a little bit, the premise of Enlightened is Laura Dern is basically an adult that has a kind of a midlife crisis, and so she kind of has a bit of a nervous breakdown, so to speak, and kind of starts to see life in a different way. And a lot of what the show is centered on is kind of her relationship with her mother, who's played by Diane Ladd, who is her real life mother.
Oh, really? That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And the episode that we saw was actually called Not Good Enough Mothers, I think.
Yes. And so I did not have as strong a negative of a reaction as you did. And I actually, it was a show that in this episode, and it's episode 5 of the first season, Not Enough Good Mothers, was a show that initially her character kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But then the more the show went on, the more you kind of, it was interesting the way it kind of got into her head. Her character's name is Amy, and it was interesting how the show got into Amy's head in a way that I don't see a lot of shows doing. And I don't know. I don't know that it was totally successful, but it was very, in some ways, mesmerizing. The scene where Amy is on the bus and is looking around at the different people on the bus and thinking to herself, what I assume is a mantra that she learned in therapy or something like that.
I think she was in rehab.
Okay. So it was a mantra that said, if you look at people and think of them as your mother and somebody who wants to nurture you, you see people in a much more compassionate way, and it kind of gives you inner peace. That was interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's a half hour show, so therefore it's supposed to be a comedy, but in that sense it was very very interesting dramatically. I don't know that dramatically it was totally successful, because I agree with you in some respect, Bridget, that a lot of it seems to revolve around, oh wow, look at how Amy's getting herself into this really awkward situation, you know, such as going to the baby shower that she wasn't really invited to, and talking about this new women's group that she wanted to start up, and obviously it made everybody feel really uncomfortable. And granted, I think we can all relate to looking at a group of people and feeling like all these people are total lamewads and I'm the special one. But then it was, you know, her character was kind of almost pushing it a little too much. But on the plus side, this episode in particular, I really liked. It just felt a lot more, it felt more mesmerizing in a way that I don't think a show like Hung or How to Make It in America really has been on HBO, or really any of their other half-hour, quote-unquote, comedies.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like it. I can't get over her voice and the stuff that she was saying with her voice, and even when she had that enlightened moment, like, mm-hmm. So it's, at the end of the episode, as Claude was describing, she's on the bus, and the whole episode she's just been kind of frustrating, and it seems like nothing's going right, and no one's listening to her, and no one's getting involved in things the way she wants to get involved in things, and she finally kind of, I think, turns inward and focuses on herself, and how she maybe just, okay, I'll focus on what I can do, or how I can see the world differently. And even then, it was like, I don't know, I'm a big fan of Laura Dern, and it was something about Laura Dern in this show, in this role, and how she was acting, and how she sounded, and it just, like, I didn't like it at all, and I don't know. I'm sorry, Laura Dern. I mean,
well, and
I don't know what it was about this. Maybe I just haven't seen her in a role like this, so I'm uncomfortable with it, of her acting kind of wacky. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just something about it made me very uncomfortable.
Maybe the fact that there are scenes in it that seem to be more wacky than they should be, or that they're trying to be wacky, but it's not really funny. It's just kind of there. You know, like, the scene where she's with her boss, and the boss is like, my butt is on the line here. My butt! Like, I felt like that was a scene that was kind of strained to be a little too, like, this is a funny scene now. You know?
Yeah.
Like, all they really needed was, like, ABC to come in and, like, add the quirky music to tell us that this is a joke. But, you know, I think it could be a good show, an interesting show. I don't know that it's there yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, too, because, again, we saw one episode that was kind of mid-season, right? But, I would not watch it again.
From what I understand, the first few episodes are not great, and this was better than what I had expected. So,
okay.
I'll give it another chance.
And I had not read anything about it. I didn't know anything about it except, oh, it's that show that Laura Dern is involved in, whom I really like.
Right.
And so I didn't really know what to expect, and it was way worse than I would have expected an HBO half-hour show involving Laura Dern to be.
And this show has gotten such low ratings that it's, I think it registered a 0.0
on
episode because it garnered such low ratings. So,
America's
on one hand, HBO doesn't usually cancel shows, but on the other hand, if it's also not a critical success, maybe they'll cancel it.
I just keep thinking of Inland Empire and how awesome she was.
Well, I think it's similar. I think she is putting herself out there the way that she puts herself out there in David Lynch films.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maybe it's just a matter of this just isn't the right type of role for her.
Maybe. But she's one of the producers, too, I think.
Yeah, she and Mike White, who's also in the show, created the show together.
Mike White, who's not one of the White Stripes people.
No.
Yeah.
No,
he's But not. He's got, like,
he's
no eyelashes.
He's a Dawson's Creek writer, Bridget.
I know.
You love Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, I do love Dawson's Creek, but
we're gonna get back to that in a little bit.
Yeah. So, I say skip it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll say tentative, watch it.
The other HBO show that we got to see that is not new, is it in the second season?
Yes.
But we haven't seen it since the first season. Another one that Qualler liked, and I believe Chris liked it, and I did not like it all, How to Make It in America. The only good thing about this show is the theme song.
And the transitions are cool.
And I have to say that this episode we saw, again, mid-season, season two, was better than anything I saw in season one. So maybe it's kind of coming into its own. But this is the show about...
it's about the same as where it was in season one.
I thought it was better.
Pleasant and inoffensive.
I enjoyed it more than I did season one.
Alright.
So this is the show about two fellas trying to make it in America, and the way they're doing that is by, like, designing jeans, I thought, but now they're designing hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
So designing Crisp. And making... Yeah, they have a brand.
Right.
Crisp. And, I don't know. You say it's kind of like Entourage, but they're not douchey.
Well, it's like Entourage in the sense that it's a little bit of male wish fulfillment programming.
Sure.
Where it's like, well, these dudes, you know, they're just regular bros, but they're still going to parties and doing it with Gina Gershon, so can't be that bad. Living the American dream, y'all. Right.
Yeah, and there aren't really so many strong female characters in it. I mean, I don't know that that's true.
Well, there are more strong female characters than there are in Entourage.
Okay, sure. Sure. That horse face girl, I don't like her.
Lake Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that, you know, you shouldn't judge somebody based on their looks.
Unless they're actors. And then I totally can do that if I want to. Because who's it hurting?
That's fair.
Because I guarantee she's not listening to our podcast.
Oh, Lake.
Are you?
Lake.
You're doing fine.
So I, you know, having watched the whole
first... It's not her face so much as the faces that I feel like she makes as this character.
Yeah.
Because then you pointed out that she's the same person in Children's Hospital, and I totally did not think that about her when she was in Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it must not actually have anything to do with how she looks, and it must just be how they're, like... I don't know.
Well, one thing about the show that I didn't feel about it in the first season that I feel like, sadly, I think, is... Luis Guzman is kind of a weak link. And I feel like the Rasta Monsta thing is not really pulling any weight dramatically or comedically.
Mm-hmm.
And at least the saga of Ben and Cam making jeans has some... It has some weight to it and some both smile-worthy and just more... You know, it's the kind of comedy where it's not really funny, but you just have a good time watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are admittedly there are some funny parts, but I feel like from the episode that we watched, Luis Guzman's character was kind of just there to be Luis Guzman, and I don't feel like he really added anything.
His face makes me uncomfortable.
I know you don't like his face.
And
again, judging on looks.
So you say. Hello, acting. So you saying that this is like a show that it's a comedy that's not funny, but it's fun to watch. I would say Enlightened is a comedy that's not even fun to watch and makes you really uncomfortable.
Right. It's not.
So I guess maybe that's why I had such a visceral reaction to it, is that like almost everything else on HBO, even if I hate everything about it, even Tell Me You Love Me, there was something about it, like the production quality.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the people that I still could, like, watch... Like, it could still just be on in the background and I could watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Enlightened is the first HBO show. Now, I've never seen an episode of Entourage.
Really?
So, we're gonna throw that out there, right?
Okay.
So, it's the first HBO show that I've seen that I was just like, no. The way I feel about, like, Whitney. That was how it rubbed me. Yeah. I'm not saying it's as low quality as Whitney. It's not. And, I mean, again, this is, like, my... sort of emotional reaction to it, so sure. I can't necessarily
I can
justify
see that.
It, but it gave me that same kind of feeling.
I can see that.
So How to Make It in America, while I don't like it, doesn't give me that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to have it on in the background. Enlightened, I will excuse myself and read a book in the other room.
That's fair enough.
So that was harsh.
Yeah, sorry HBO, you're
sorry.
Not perfect.
I guess not
all the time.
Yeah. Take that, oldest child who's used to achieving.
Right.
Or something.
Speaking of, we had a little of the olds, which was How to Make It in America, a little mm-hmm. of the new, which was Enlightened. Mm-hmm. How about a little once was new, then was old, now is new again?
What? Beavis and Butthead?
What a wuss.
Okay. You gonna...
What is...
Should we do...
I like it. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
So I
thought I was too mature for you, Beavis and Butthead. I thought I was too good for you.
I'm so
and
happy
I am
it's
eating
back.
My words.
So happy it's back.
I was not allowed to watch it when it was first on the air because I was like 9.
Oh, I watched it secretly.
While I watched it secretly, I didn't because I did as I was told.
You're good.
And because I think the few episodes I did see, I was like, I don't get it. They're boys being stupid. I can see that in class.
Right.
And
to be fair, when it premiered, that was the main draw for most boys our age, was these boys sure are funny because mm-hmm. they like to light stuff on fire. And I like to look up to them as role models. Not really, but somewhat. On a certain level, yes.
Right, so what we're saying is Beavis and Butthead is totally for grown-ups and not for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really happy that it's on again so that I can watch it as a grown-up and actually realize how funny it is.
And what I'm amazed by is how apparently Mike Judge, obviously the creator and gang, were able to just drop new episodes of the show in and, like, literally nothing... It's
like it's been on for the past,
right.
what, 15 years.
Yeah, and it's like no need to
seamless.
Adjust it or modernize it
no.
in any way.
It's awesome.
And if anything, the only adjustments I can think of are that it's even more, like, winking at the audience that, like, aren't people stupid. And even Beavis is kind of brilliant, like, in the show. Like, he has some... surprisingly brilliant insights to things.
I had a crush on the boy in third grade because he looked like Beavis.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. If you're listening, you know who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, so Mark was a... or Qualler was a fan. And almost let something slip there. But I was not that excited about it. And he actually said, okay, Bridget, you have to come watch this.
I think when we watched it for the first time, you were asleep and I kept poking you.
Yeah.
And you didn't care for that poking.
No.
But.
With his finger.
With, yeah.
People.
He said poke.
Yeah.
What do you think of the new reality show clips, Bridget?
Okay, so.
They still do videos, but right. They also do MTV reality shows, Jersey Shore, True Life, 16.
Well, and I mean, they have to do that because that's what's MTV, on MTV, right? And I think it's hilarious that they do it, but I do think it's a little bit meaner than when they just make fun of the videos, because I kind of feel like.
That's a line you don't cross.
Well, it's not a line you don't cross, it's just a little meaner.
Right.
Right? So, like, it's one thing to make fun of, like, music videos and actors on music videos, but it's another thing to make fun of the people in the reality show, because then it's, like, that weird, like, fine line of actually making fun of a human being instead of making fun of...
So you think that Snooki is a real human being?
Not so much Snooki. I guess the only... So make fun of Jersey Shore all you want. I thought it was a little mean when they make fun of the people on Teen Mom.
Or True Life.
True Life especially, because I feel like, I don't know, they're just real people. They're doing their thing. But, I mean, it's funny, so I'll watch it, and it's not that mean. And I guess if you're going to agree or whatever, be paid to be part of a reality TV show, then you're fair game, too.
Sure.
I just feel a little bit more
Felt a little queasy.
That's mean. Not queasy, just, oh, that's mean, right. In a way that I never felt... The kind of, oh, that's mean you say when the popular girls is picking on the nerd, where you're, like, laughing, but you're like, you're so mean! That kind of mean. Not like, I don't really care, it doesn't bother me, but I do think it's a little mean.
That's fair.
But it's really funny when they're watching that and saying, why is everyone's mouth open?
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked when they were watching Twilight.
Yeah.
And said, is Bella supposed to be, like, a zombie? Because, like, her mouth's always open, and she just, like... stands there staring and shit. I don't know. Yeah, it was funny. It's funny. It's a really funny show.
Yeah. I probably laugh more at Beavis and Butthead than any show on TV right now. Maybe except for when It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is really on.
Yeah.
But Beavis and Butthead back is brings me much joy. And it sounds like the ratings are very good for it. So,
good. And
MTV just signed a new development deal with Mike Judge to develop a new show. Hopefully, they're still able to continue to work on Beavis and Butthead because it's beautiful and timeless. And now that that King of the Hill is gone.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's gone. Mike Judge can continue to voice the Hank Hill type voice with Mr. Anderson, who's the original Hank Hill voice.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's been your favorite segment of the four we've watched so far?
My favorite the vampires, segment of the four we've watched so far?
Beavis is crying. We had your daughter's hand. And we had tech support.
I guess the vampires were my favorite.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. But I really just liked when they watched the music video with the little baby. What video was that?
MGMT.
That was really funny.
She's a lousy mom.
Yeah. Oh, hey, son. All these monsters are gonna be grabbing you and stuff, but that's okay, because you're, like, 1.5 now.
It's like, Butthead, they're both so, like, when they watch TV, they're actually quite...
Oh, I also like that, like, okay, so, and I didn't get this the first time around because I didn't really watch it, and I was too young to get it, but, like, so Beavis and Butthead are, like, fans of all these MTV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just that they're sitting and watching it, they're, like, fans.
It's right.
Because Beavis is like, well, okay, this can't be Teen Mom because, like, she's already had the baby, or it can't be 16 and Pregnant because, like, she's already had the baby, so it must be, like,
Teen Mom season 3
because I've seen all of season 1. Like, yeah. I don't know. I like imagining Beavis sitting down to watch Teen Mom.
Right.
Like, episodes of Teen
Mom.
And
even though in the episode where he was crying, it was just because he found an onion in his hot dog.
And it made his eyes water.
Like, I'd like to imagine Beavis, like, crying by himself watching something.
Really?
And then Butthead, like, relentlessly making fun of him. Because they have a really interesting relationship.
Because
it's like, it seems like Beavis is the more kind of sweet and innocent one.
Mm-hmm.
Although Butthead is too, but Butthead is kind of a jerk to Beavis a lot of the time, I think.
He's a butthead.
Well, yeah.
Also, I have some questions about Beavis and Butthead. Like, how old are they supposed to be?
I think there's...
Like, well, young teenagers?
From the Daughter's Hand episode, where they went to the new girl's house to try to get their daughter's hand, mm-hmm. The dad said, like, well, my daughter is a little bit older than you guys are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they're, like, 15.
Okay.
Or 16.
And are they, like, mentally handicapped? Or are they...
No, they're just Beavis and Butthead.
Because they're kind of dumb.
Yeah, but as Butthead pointed out in the Teen Mom episode they were watching, this guy looks like he might even be dumber than us.
Huh. Okay.
So, clearly...
Not that dumb. I mean, I guess they're a cartoon, so it doesn't matter.
Well, and clearly they're kind of, you know, symbolic...
Of our generation.
Well...
I like that they're still wearing the Metallica and AC/DC t-shirt.
And I'm also glad that they... 15 years later. Yeah, and I'm glad that they didn't, you know, like, decide to start computer animating it. I'm sure they use some computer animation,
mm-hmm.
but it still very much looks like the show did when it first went off the air.
Yeah.
So, oh, God. MTV... and actually, there's an article, I think, in the New York Times about the new head of programming at MTV is David Janilari, I think his name is, who's actually a producer of Six Feet Under, part of that production studio. But he's the new head of programming and has kind of been responsible for MTV's scripted overhaul. And, you know, it kind of started with the Skins remake. And he kind of admitted that, you know, the Skins remake is gone from the air. And he kind of admitted in the article that it was the right idea for what they wanted to develop, but didn't quite work out the way they wanted it to. But that was kind of, they're clearly going more toward a scripted way. And obviously, a show like Awkward, you know, before...
Awkward is great. Before
Awkward was on TV, you wouldn't have thought that's an MTV show. Mm-hmm. But they're kind of redefining what MTV means. And in some ways, I mean, I think their bread and butter is still kind of the Jersey Shore, you know, real world, unscripted types of shows. But I think they're really improving their docket of programming with shows like Awkward and bringing back Beavis and Butthead. And I haven't seen the show that's the new animated show, Good Vibes, yet, but I'm glad that they're...
Good Vibes looks bad, but I'll give it a chance.
Yeah, it might be one of those things where, like, when we first heard about Awkward, we didn't think it looked any good,
mm-hmm.
because it was for the kids,
mm-hmm.
but it turns out it was totally great.
Good Vibes looks a little bit too much like something that would be on Cartoon Network.
Oh.
But not Adult Swim, Cartoon Network proper. Like,
Right.
But I think it's just because of how it's drawn.
Yeah.
But.
I'd like them
to bring back Daria.
Yeah, and actually, I think in an episode of Beavis and Butthead, and they've talked about that, actually.
Right.
In the interview, they talked about, but in the interview with David Janilari, they've discussed possibly bringing Daria back.
That would be great.
I would love that, because that's a great show, also. Mm-hmm. Speaking of stars of Awkward.
Jenna. Played by
Ashley Ricards.
Uh-huh.
We are almost caught up with American Horror Story, a.k.a. Spooky Spook Spook.
Mm-hmm. Today we watched Halloween Part 2.
Right.
And it was great. I think we talked a lot already ad nauseum.
We talked about
how much we liked Halloween Part 1 and how it's kind of brought Spooky Spook Spook into a different level of enjoyment for me, at least. In terms of it's not just, wow, what kind of crazy shit are they going to do? I have to watch it because I can't look away. To, I'm actually kind of interested in where they're going to take this show because I'm starting to care about these characters and, like, the plot, actually. is getting a little interesting to me.
Yeah, I think after the first two episodes, I think we can clearly label those episodes as kind of disasters. Because they were so...
In terms of what's happened since?
Well, I think the show has leveled out much more. It's still the kind of show where, before a commercial break, you think that the ghost just microwaved their dog. I mean, it's still that... It's still that kind of show where it's like, oh, they really didn't... They didn't need to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But it's slowed down enough so that they're... In Halloween Part 2, there were a few scenes that I really genuinely liked with... that relates to Tate, the character Tate, who I really did not like at all in the first few episodes.
He's getting great.
And has somehow, he's somehow developed into kind of like a sympathetic character, where it was clearly like in the first episode, it was like, oh, here's this teenager who's totally bad, and you can tell he's bad by the way that he talks about how bad he is.
And the way he's lit and his eye makes,
right. Like it was like just way too much like, yeah, it was like way too much like they're beating you over the head with how bad this teenager is.
This is going to be full of spoilers.
Yeah. So, if you want to watch it and haven't watched it yet, then skip fast forward a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Or should we do this without the spoilers?
No.
There's no way to do it without spoilers.
We gotta talk about it.
This is full of spoilers, but again, this is Halloween Part 2, so this is the episode that would have aired 2 weeks ago. Is that right?
Yes.
Not last. Well, or last week.
Not this past Wednesday, but the Wednesday before.
Okay.
And then we'll watch last Wednesday's episode this Tuesday, and then we'll watch the new episode when it airs on Wednesday.
Cool.
So then we'll be all caught up.
All caught up.
So we gradually come to realize that Tate is indeed a ghost, and he didn't just fantasize about killing kids in his class, he actually did.
Yeah.
And
but he doesn't really remember having done it. He actually thinks it was like a fantasy.
Right. That's the little detail that shifts his character from too evil and boring because he's so evil, to sympathetic because he doesn't remember doing something this horrible. And so of course, his classmates who he shot, including Ashley Ricards, who in the scene that she was in,
She was good.
Yeah, but those scenes, I was like, oh, Jenna Hamilton, I'm so proud of you for being in American Horror Story. And I was like, nope, Jenna Hamilton is not a real person. So well done, awkward on that point. But I she didn't have like a huge role in it. She was like one of the kids in the group that kept following him.
Because remember, it's still taking place on Halloween, so ghosts are allowed to walk around.
Right.
So all these ghosts come and find him.
Right. But it was a really, like, it was spooky, if I may, but also dramatically satisfying.
Yes.
And speaking of dramatically satisfying, I was surprised that Jessica Lange's character, what's her name? Constance?
Mm-hmm.
And what's her daughter's name?
Addie.
Constance and Addie. I feel like the scene where Constance was applying makeup on Addie's corpse was a really effective scene. I wish that they would have spent a few more episodes developing Addie as not just a spooky character, but as a real character, because that scene could have been a lot more powerful if there were like three episodes building up to it rather than like one episode.
Yeah, because they really, Addie was hardly even a character. She was like a plot device until Halloween Part 1.
Right.
And that was and then they killed her.
Right.
So, but I was surprised that they actually did kill her, and I wonder if that's going to stick.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because and I have a feeling it won't, because she was already hinting to Tate about who was she talking to? Was she talking to what's Violet about it? Yeah, uh-huh. She's talking to Violet and saying, please don't tell Tate that Addie's dead. But, like, obviously she is going to tell him. Right. And obviously she's going to turn into a ghost.
And it was revealed that Tate is Jessica Lange's son. So yeah, earlier in the season when she was saying, I had four children or five children? Right?
Yeah.
So we know
and
that...
two of them are the twins.
Two of them are twins, right? Well, we don't know that for sure yet, but two of them are the twins. One of them is Addie. And then Tate is... But one of them, she said, you know, one of my children was... he was, like, beautiful and blonde and perfect, and he was, like, my... I can't remember what...
So that's probably Tate.
Yeah, right. And then, Viola?
Violet.
No, who's the mom?
Vivian. Too many V names.
I know, right? Ryan so, Murphy. And Vivian asked, you know, what happened to him, and she said, oh, I lost him to other things. I think that that's Tate, who she's talking about. But maybe not. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out. Right.
I'm still... I would say the weakest part of the show is still Ben Vivian.
Oh, you think so?
It's gotten better. It's gotten... But it's still... Like, their scenes together are not as intriguing to me.
Whose scenes together?
Any scene that involves Ben and Vivian. And in the twist where Hayden, who is the girl that Ben was sleeping with and apparently impregnated... and her ghost came back to kind of torture Ben and Vivian and almost cut the baby out of Vivian's stomach.
The baby who is, like, maybe a monster or something? I don't really know.
Right, we still... Yeah. There's still... I still feel like them... And it's problematic because they're the central characters of the show, ostensibly. I still feel like they are still turned up to 11 a little too much. And it's gotten less bad, but it's still not good, I would say.
And didn't you say that you heard or read that they might kill off this family?
The rumor...
And that the show will keep going and just be a different family next season?
Yes, because obviously the show is coming back for a second season... And, we're only five episodes into it, and I feel like four seasons worth of plot things have happened. So I honestly have no idea what they're going to do for the next eight. And that's what makes it kind of so watchable in some ways, is, like, just to see what's going to happen next. And who knows how sustainable that is, because Nip Tuck... kind of went that route very quickly and
well,
did
but
not...
I think it's already not just what's going to happen next because there's also like the characters are starting to get interesting. So like I want to know about Tate. I want to see where he's going to go.
Right.
But all the characters that are interesting are the ghosts.
Right. Yes.
The family
exactly.
is not interesting at all, and that's why I think Halloween 1 was the first episode that I was like, this is not just entertaining. This is actually getting interesting because it focused on the ghosts as
and
characters.
And Zachary Quinto's
and Jessica
character...
Lange, who is not a ghost, but she is interesting.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly.
She's great.
But Zachary Quinto and his boyfriend, who were the last people to live in the house, their ghosts are much more, I think, as if there's a if there's a relationship that you're looking at. I feel like that's a relationship that's a troubled relationship, similar to what Ben and Vivian are going through, but you actually feel like...
But you care about them?
Yeah. You feel, like, a little bit sad. I feel a lot more sad for them than I do for Ben and Vivian. And part of it is just Dylan McDermott and his screamy face. And I feel like every time that Dennis O'Hare comes out and, like, hits him with the shovel, like, I'm just like, yes! Because I love Dennis O'Hare in the show. He's an unsung hero.
But maybe, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I am interested in Ben and Vivian, kind of. But they're still, I guess they're probably the weakest links. I like Violet more and more as a character.
Yeah, now that I know that Thaisa Farmiga is actually Vera Farmiga's younger sister, the youngest of seven kids, and there's a 21-year age difference. And she's also in the movie Higher Ground that Vera Farmiga directed. Now I am more interested in seeing that even more than I was before. I like her in the show, and again... she's a character who, like, she and Tate together in the first two episodes I did not like at all. And now I've come to, I've come to like them. They're all right.
Good. Yeah.
So, spooky, spook, spook.
So that's spooky, spook, spook.
You continue to improve.
Yeah.
Lastly,
a show that's new to us that I'm finally coming around to.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of spooky still.
Yeah, you were a little spooked out.
I was a little spooked out. We're on episode 5 of the
midway
first season.
Midway through episode 6 now.
Vampire Diaries.
I finally got Bridget to watch it. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you, everybody.
I saw the pilot episode was not great.
No, the pilot episode was okay. The second episode was okay. The third episode was just plain bad,
mm-hmm.
and laughably bad in a lot of ways, where Stefan was playing football. It's like, no,
mm-hmm.
no, you, any show that tries to do football is that's not Friday Night Lights is not going to work in a post-Friday Night Lights world. But I feel like the fourth episode finally realized, you know, Ian Somerhalder is an effing scenery chewer to the nth degree. We got to get this guy as much stuff as possible. And episode 4 was also the first one where they started doing kind of Kevin Williamson-esque,
perhaps.
Kevin Williamson.
Yeah, you're right. Kevin Williamson-y. I don't like that.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But kind of like the fun dialogue that he is so famous for, you know, Scream and Dawson's Creek, where
right.
the vampires are poking fun at vampire, quote unquote, rules. You know, the first instance of that was the blonde chick, I can't remember what her name is, was talking to Damon, that's Ian Somerhalder, and was like, "Why don't you sparkle?" And he's like, "Because I live in the real world," which I laughed at a lot. And then in episode 5, Elena was chopping some garlic, and she was like, "And I'll put some garlic in here." And Stefan was like, "I love garlic." And, you know, it's just like, it seems like it kind of started to find its footing. That it can be a fun show. It doesn't have to be deathly serious like Twilight movies are.
Mm-hmm.
And it got a little spookier, a little more intense, violence-wise. And so I'm liking it a lot. And Bridget, do you?
Yeah, I do. And I'm going to keep watching it because I love you, Kevin Williamson. I love you. I wasn't crazy about I Know What You Did Last Summer, but otherwise, we're cool. And Mark Qualler and I have also been kind of... We decided recently to start rewatching Dawson's Creek from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So we're watching, like, an episode every night as we fall asleep. It's kind of the perfect show to fall asleep to when mm-hmm. you've seen it as many times as we have. And I mm-hmm. love season 1.
But I haven't really seen the whole thing in order, so I'm excited for that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's
but,
very...
So, yeah, I like... I like that style. I'm liking the Vampire Diaries. I do still think that... I mean, rip-off is not, like, the concern here, because I don't want to know, who took from whom, or whether it just happened simultaneously at this whatever. But there's a lot of stuff in there that I can't help but think about, oh, that's just like in True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so, for example, the fact that the main character is a good vampire... who is in love with a human who wants to, like, mainstream and wants to no longer feed off of human blood and struggles with not feeding off of human blood. I mean, that's Vampire Bill, right? He was
sure.
also became a vampire during the Civil War. Like, okay, that's Vampire Bill. In the South, okay, Vampire Bill.
Right, and they're in Virginia, Mystic
right.
Falls. Which is a great name for a town.
But it was still the Confederacy, right? They're
yeah.
still fighting
yeah.
on that side.
Right.
And then, and then there's the, that's our protagonist. Our antagonist
Elena.
Is, no, I'm talking about vampire.
Oh, okay. Stefan.
Stefan. And then the antagonist is Damien.
Damon,
who is kind of akin to Eric Northman, who's like the other side of that vampire coin. where it's like, I'm just going to do what I want and have sex with whomever I want, and I'm, like, badass, and I'm obviously more attractive in a sex appeal kind of way. And I know, I mean, they're not the same, but there are a lot of similarities there.
There's similarities.
So those are the character similarities, and then in a lot of ways I feel like, powers aside, Sookie and Elena are kind of similar in that they're kind of like the strong, independent, maybe a little off. There's something a little different about them than the other girls, right? Characters. And then that the two brothers are kind of fighting over the same person. So the Eric and Bill, I know that they're not actually brothers, but they kind of fulfill those characters. So those are the character similarities. I can kind of get over it. There are also a lot of, I think, vampire lore similarities that go against what I know about vampires in terms of, like, I don't know, vampire myths or lore or whatever. And so when they bite someone and feed off them, they don't turn into a vampire. That's something from True Blood 2. And True Blood was the first vampire thing I ever saw where if they bite you, you don't turn into a vampire. And the other thing is that happened in episode 5, I believe, was that Damon?
Mm-hmm.
Gives
blonde chick.
The blonde chick his blood for her to heal. So, I mean, that seems straight out of True Blood. Oh, also, Elena's brother is very much a Jason Stackhouse character. Where he's, like, the younger... I guess Jason is older, but he's, like, the brother who's... he's as much of a, like, kind of screw-up as she seems to be stable and strong and down-to-earth and head on her shoulders. And he's starting to get into drugs and dating the wrong girls. So, I mean, that stuff is there. Oh, also, the parents are dead, right? And I don't know, so...
Okay.
But... All of that aside, I am enjoying it. I'm going to keep watching it. But it is kind of weird that, like, vampires are just...
Well, vampires are popular in popular culture right
now. I know.
I see your point through 6 episodes. I think that I'm enjoying it because it doesn't feel as... It feels like it's more interested in... the characters than True Blood is. I feel like Vampire Bill is hardly a shell of a person in a lot of ways, and not at all. I feel like I'm not dramatically attached to Bill Compton really at all. And I feel sort of the same way about Sookie. I'm not totally attached to Elena yet, but I think between Elena and Sookie, if we're gonna go that route, it's kind of a draw for me. I feel like Stefan is, I know a little bit more about Stefan than Bill at this point in the series. Maybe, I think the first few episodes, I didn't really care for Stefan that much because he was a little too, like, Edward Cullen-y. But I think in episode 5 and episode 6, you kind of saw a different side of him. And then I feel like between Damon and Eric Northman, there's no contest. I feel like Damon is a lot more interesting, a lot more funny, a lot more fun to watch. I feel like...
He's not more fun to look at.
Well...
I'm sorry, but it is hard to beat Alexander Skarsgård.
Right, but I feel like if you're gonna, like... If you're only into it because Alexander Skarsgård is hot... Mm-hmm. Then just, like, look at pictures of Alexander Skarsgård, you know? Like, don't waste my time with, like, a character who's not really that interesting. I still, like, the love triangle between Bill, Eric, and Sookie is still something I don't care about at all. Whereas I can already feel, like, tension between Stefan and Damon and Elena. Mm-hmm. Granted, it's not super strong yet through 6 episodes, but I understand the characters' motivations much more than I do in True Blood. So, earlier today, I reached out to Twitter to try to come up with reasons for Bridget to watch. So, Can I read them to you, Bridget?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm already watching it. I'm going to watch it and be critical and still...
No.
So here's the other thing. And maybe I started this because I was comparing. Because it's impossible to not compare them.
Right, right.
Right? But on the other hand, I recognize that this is a totally different show than True Blood. And that I'm not going to like it the same way that I like True Blood.
Sure.
Because I don't like Dawson's Creek the way I like True Blood. And I feel like Vampire Diaries is going to fulfill another part of that teenage drama.
Kind of Dawson's Creek-y
for me. True Blood does something totally different for me that I don't expect this show to do. But there is something nice about watching grown-ups. So in terms of, like, the sex appeal stuff, like, I'm not going to get that in Vampire Diaries because they're, like, children.
Right.
Right? Because I feel like that was one of the things you were telling me about this show.
Right.
Right? I also like True Blood a lot more than you do.
Yeah.
Because I think that you maybe expect too much out of True Blood because it's an HBO show. Maybe because Alan Ball is involved. I don't know.
I don't really expect much out of it anymore. And the second season, I didn't expect it to be dramatically fulfilling the way a lot of HBO shows are, but I at least enjoyed it. And I feel like the third season, I didn't really enjoy either.
Okay.
Save for Dennis O'Hare.
Well, I'd still like to watch the newest season.
Yeah. Well, anyway, our friend Chris Castro, or @SarCastro, told me to tell you that the guys are hotter than the guys on True Blood because they're
idiots. That is false.
And there's more of them, is what he said.
I count three guys so far in Vampire Diaries, and three guys in True Blood that I would care about.
That's fair. Our friend Carrie Reisler at TV and Dinners said logical stories and exciting twists are better than there's no sex.
I have yet to see a logical story in Vampire Diaries. I mean, it's still vampires. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm watching it. Everyone who says it's a good show, you're all right.
Noel Kirkpatrick or Noel RK says peer pressure.
Peer pressure works.
Peer pressure.
For sure.
That's the reason
peer pressure works. No, and I appreciate it. I do think Damon is hot. I think Stefan is the opposite of hot. The way that I don't find Edward Cullen hot.
Right.
Nice hair.
Right.
Wolfman.
Way to, like, whisper everything.
Way to look like you're, from 1,000 years ago, which I guess he is, but I just don't find that hot.
Right.
Eric Northman doesn't look like he's from 1,000 years ago. He looks like he's from right now in my bed.
Sure.
I don't know. Sorry. Sure. I just think that True Blood is a really fun, campy, sexy show, and I don't get campy, fun, and sexy with Vampire Diaries, but I don't necessarily need that from Vampire Diaries because I get that from True Blood. I can have more than one vampire show in my life. I realize that now.
All right.
And they're doing different things for me.
All right.
I agree. I'm interested in the plot. Kind of. I wouldn't call it very believable. Was that the word?
Well,
I mean,
I guess define believable in the
okay.
In the
okay,
world
here's the other
vampires.
Thing. I don't like Elena as much as I like Sookie because I don't like this is and this is again like. I don't like the actress as much as I like Anna Paquin. I like Anna Paquin, and I know a lot of people don't like her very much, but
I like Anna Paquin more than. Than most people do.
So I think also in the pilot, the character Elena was, who's getting better, and I'm sure by season two I'll like her, but like, Anna Paquin I kind of liked instantly because there's something interesting and different about her. The actress.
Her teeth.
Elena just was, I was like, wow, she could not be more boring. I could not care less about this girl. And I feel like Stefan could not be more boring. I feel like he's equally as boring as Vampire Bill, but at least Vampire Bill
got naked.
At least Vampire naked. Bill is, like, in the appropriate age range for me to find attractive. Right?
Right.
And I don't think there's an actor in the universe that's more attractive than Alexander Skarsgård. Are you listening? Because my husband and I have an arrangement, and...
Sure. Go for it.
Yeah, you're kind of that... What do they call it? My... Go? My free pass?
Right.
Alex. Can I call you Alex?
Al.
Can I call you Al? I would not want to call you Al. I would want to call you Eric Northman, and it would be weird. But, No, so I'm liking it. Episode 5 was good. I don't feel the need to go back and watch episodes 2 through 4.
Yeah, no,
I look forward to continuing with it and seeing where it's going. Okay, one thing that I like a lot more in Vampire Diaries than in True Blood is the Tara character.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. I mean, granted, that's not saying much, but yeah.
And that's an inappropriate thing for me to say because it's the other, the... black friend, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah. It is what it is. I don't like Tara at all. I think she's...
We all hate
horrible
Tara.
Addition to that show.
And we're all glad that she died.
She died?
Possibly.
Don't spoil for me. I still want to watch it. But the girl who's a witch, or finding out that she's a witch, that's cool. I enjoy that.
Right, and again, there's...
I like that they can go out in the daylight because that makes them able to do more things.
Right.
Right, so for plot's sake, like, that's good, I guess.
Well, only if they have that ring, though.
Yeah. But one thing I kind of liked about True Blood is I like that there was no mystery or secret or, like, surprise I'm a vampire. I like that it was like, okay, we're gonna totally be open about the fact that these people are vampires.
Well, yeah, but I think they're getting at... that Mystic Falls has been a haven for vampires in the past, and there's some mystery with regard to...
That's right.
That this is kind of a town secret that's been covered up for a long time.
So
and that certain people in the town know that there have been vampires in the past.
So are we gonna... Didn't you say, to kind of ease some of my complaints I had about... how some of the vampire lore seemed too similar to True Blood stuff was that we're gonna say these both exist in the True Blood universe.
Yeah, that's
so
what.
So maybe
I
let's
told
say
Bridget.
This is a sequel.
Okay.
So it's like Blood years sequel. Later when vampires are no longer out of the coffin or whatever.
Sure.
Okay, that's horrible. The out of the coffin stuff.
Yeah. See that.
I know. Okay. I know.
Kevin Williamson is a much surprisingly. He's a much more subtle writer than Alan Ball.
That's not surprising, actually.
Okay.
I've always liked Kevin Williamson better than
Alan
Ball.
He's actually an excellent writer, I think.
I feel Kevin like Williamson. I've always liked True Blood despite Alan Ball being involved in it. Not because wow. of... I don't like Alan Ball. I'm sorry. And you know what? Put me on
Six
the hater
under.
Once again. I love 6 Feet Under. I think 6 Feet Under had a wonderful team of writers and wonderful
I
actors.
I think Alan Ball's skill is bringing people together...
Yes, sure.
Whereas his particular
Whereas Kevin Williamson, good. He can write.
Yeah, the man knows how to write a witty script.
And the man knows how to do winky teenage stuff really well.
Oh, yeah.
And so, this is going to be a good, fun, winky teenage vampire thing. So, yeah, I like it. It's good. What else did I really like about it? I like Elena better and better. I like that there's some specific mystery with the brothers. And that we're kind of finding out, like, how they came to be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fun twist that the Catherine was their maker, which I kind of guessed.
Right, you totally called that.
That was fun.
It was good.
Oh, Kevin Williamson is really good at the, duo that is a female or a sort of
a police
officer who's kind of a small town police officer
and a corrupt
and a
reporter
do anything for the story
right
reporter.
That's a nice little Scream-esque touch.
Yeah,
and,
all
and
the, Courtney Cox and David Arquette.
Right, and the police officer kind of reminds me of Pacey's brother from Boston
Street.
Oh,
yeah.
That was the first thing I thought when she was introduced is, oh, they're going for the Pacey's brother angle.
Doug. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dougie.
I think, Bridget, I think we should maybe finish that episode and then watch some Dawson's Creek and go to bed.
I would like that. I'd like that very much.
All right.
Kevin Williamson, we like you. We're hoping that you'll be a guest in a couple weeks on our podcast, because I don't think that that's a ridiculous thing to hope for.
No.
No. And then maybe Alan Ball, we could get you on too, and maybe you guys could do a point counterpoint, True Blood,
right.
Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
And you said Vampire Diaries is also based on a book?
Yes. Okay. Although it's not, I don't think it's based on a series of books the way True Blood
is. I kind of stopped liking True Blood as much in the third season as well, and then a friend of mine said you have to read the Sookie Stackhouse books, and I read them over the summer, and they were delicious.
Weren't they much, didn't you say you liked them a lot better than the show, actually?
Yeah, I did. I mean,
that Alan Ball,
I liked them better than the show because I feel like they weren't like, we're going to try to be something that we're not, that we're, like, fun, trashy vampire romance books.
Right.
And I feel like the moments that True Blood is really good is when it just lets itself be a fun, trashy vampire romance.
Right.
Show.
I agree.
With good actors and good direct. I mean, you know, it's good, but
right.
I feel like the Alan Ball stuff, when it tries to be, like, also, this is symbolic for X.
Right.
It's like, just, okay, yeah, probably, it probably is, but we can also just let it, you know,
right.
kind of happen. And,
right.
So
it seems like there are a lot of Vampire Diaries books, but not necessarily all. Well, okay. There is definitely a series.
Okay.
But that doesn't really matter because the author is dead and it's its own thing, right?
Do you mean literally the author of these books
is
dead?
No.
Or
I mean,
are you referring
to figurative sense?
Like the essay written by, who wrote the author? Bart? Roland Bart? Death of the author? Okay. Anyway, Vampire Diaries.
It's good.
It's good. But I still have to be a little defensive about True Blood because I feel like I'm the last person on Blogulator Radio who enjoys it.
That's fair.
And whoever said that the guys on Vampire Diaries are more attractive.
That was a dude who said that.
That's just, I just,
Sarcastro.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just, in my head right now is Stefan versus Eric Northman, and
right.
I just like,
well,
what? Also, I don't think that the guys on True Blood are dumb.
Well, Jason's pretty dumb. Bill is a lot dumber.
Oh, Jason is so pretty, though.
Bill
he can be as dumb as he wants.
Bill is a lot more dumb for what he should be. He does a lot of really dumb things.
Lafayette's not dumb.
Lafayette's not totally dumb, but he's
dumb.
Kind of annoying. Eric Northman's
boring.
Who's
our friend who's on... He's not boring.
He's kind of boring.
He is not.
I literally cannot remember a single thing that Eric Northman has done on the show that I've been like, wow, that was really cool.
Sit with his arms stretched really long?
That's not... doesn't count in my book. I don't know.
His arms are so
Oh, cool. That one time that he just, like, flew away.
That was really
that was
cool.
When me and Chris and I were like, whoa!
They can fly.
Yeah, which I feel like that's an example of, if you're just gonna go for it, just go for it. I feel like, in a lot of ways, like, Alan Ball, Ryan Murphy, and Kevin Williamson should all sit together. Except that what should happen is Kevin Williamson should teach a TV show running class specifically only to Alan Ball and to Ryan Murphy. And, like, you can tell Alan Ball, like, over yourself. You're not making a political statement. This is a show about vampires. And he can tell Ryan Murphy, dude, settle down a little bit, you
mm-hmm.
know? And I feel like they could both improve a lot as showrunners if they would take some tips.
Well, it's
from
not
Kevin
that
Williamson.
You can't have a show about vampires and make a political statement. It's
True.
That we get it. We're not idiots.
Right.
You don't have to tell us,
right.
like, 17 times. It's not a research report.
Right.
Right? It's a show.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that would be good. I also think that Kevin Williamson should start recasting his actors the way that HBO, the way that, like,
yeah.
they kind of, like, use their the same actors,
like
right?
a Kevin Williamson repertory actor.
Right.
Studio.
And because I
like
would like
to throw
see...
a Michelle Williams into a Vampire Diaries
right.
or a Courtney Cox Arquette.
Or a James Vanderbeek.
Vanderbeek or a Busy Phillips. Or,
yeah.
Or a Neve Campbell.
Or, I would like to see crossover, a Scream, Dawson's Creek crossover with all those
yeah,
characters together.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, like, it could be, like, Dawson Leary, who's, like, working on a movie set, right?
Yeah, right.
And then Neve Campbell as herself.
Right.
As a heightened reality version of herself.
Let's get it done.
We
should run our own network here.
Or maybe, like, so in an episode of... So we're watching an episode of Vampire Diaries, it's all regular, and then you hear someone yell cut.
Right.
And it gets meta, and it pulls away from the scene of Vampire Diaries, which was just a show that was being filmed by Dawson Leary.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cruel?
That would be awesome. That would be so awesome.
Make that happen.
Do it. That should be the last episode.
But then, of course, it turns out that the vampires are actually real.
That should be the last episode of Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
That it's just, like, all
it's all Dawson Leary's. Yeah.
That would make so much sense.
Wouldn't it?
Because it's like...
Isn't this a show that you would do?
Like, Elena is a stand-in for Dawson, and then Stefan is totally... No, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. That's okay.
I tried.
Yeah.
So I think that's all.
No, but Elena's kind of a Joey character.
Yeah. She's kind of a Joey Potter.
Strong,
right?
Tomboyish, but not really tomboyish at all, because she's hot, brunette.
Right, it's like, at least Elena, like, they don't try to pretend that Elena's not hot, because she is, she's hot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. I think we better wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Vampire Diaries, you can watch Vampire Diaries, which, the way that we're watching it, which is on Netflix. And as we've said in many episodes, Netflix sponsors our show, and you can get a 2-week free trial membership with them if you go to bit.ly/blogflix.
And can you spell that?
BLOGFLIX.
And the whole thing I meant.
bit.ly/BLOGFLIX. You get a free 2-week membership, and even if you just do the 2-week membership and cancel, which, you know, why would you do that? Because you could continue to watch Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, you're going to realize how bad your life was before.
But even if you just did that, you would still be supporting independent netcasting like the shows on the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. So check it out for sure. And with that said, my name again is Qualler.
I am Bridget. And our
you can check us out also the written version at theblogulator.com, and check out what I write, what Chris writes, and our whole team of bloggers. So I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And our opinions are valid. See you later.